Hey y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for Yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start today with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Chiefs!
In the lead up to tonight's Kansas City-Denver Thursday night football clash on Big Fox, Broncos head coach Vic Fangio made an interesting observation. He compared Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes to John Elway, my favorite football player of all time. It's an appropriate comparison. When it comes to arm talent, Mahomes and Elway are the gold standard. They make a defense defend the entire field. They make fans hold their breath on every snap. Fangio's comparison made me reminisce about Elway's career, the good and the bad. The bad can be summarized in two words, Dan Reeves. He was Denver's head coach the first 10 years of Elway's career. Despite leading the Broncos to 3 Super Bowl appearances, Reeves was the wrong coach for John Elway. Reeves never gave Elway what he needed. Playmakers at receiver and in the backfield, and autonomy on the field. Elway and Reeves tolerated each other for a decade. And then Broncos owner Pat Bowlen fired Reeves after the coach wasted a 1992 first-round draft pick on UCLA quarterback Tommy Maddox, and the Broncos finished the subsequent season 8-8. I bring all this history up because this week I've wondered whether Chiefs coach Andy Reid is a different kind of Dan Reeves. Is Andy Reid the right coach for Patrick Mahomes? Don't kill me. I'm just asking the question, and here's why. Does Mahomes need a full arsenal of playmakers to be successful in the two-hand touch modern NFL? Does he need Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins, LeSean McCoy, Mecole Hardman? Or could Mahomes thrive with a little less offensive help and a little more defensive help? Perhaps the right combination for Mahomes is a great offensive coordinator and a defensive-minded head coach. I know this type of conversation is a bit premature. Tonight's game will be Mahomes' 24th regular season start. That's a season and a half. But this is Andy Reid's 21st season as a head coach, and he's yet to win a Super Bowl. Only Dan Reeves, Chuck Knox, and Marty Schottenheimer coached longer without winning at all. Reeves, Knox, and Schottenheimer were all tremendous coaches. Reid is a tremendous offensive head coach. Is that what Mahomes needs? I'm not so sure. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NFL analysts TJ Houshmandzadeh and Mark Slareth, who thinks I'm crazy. But I'll start with you, Marcellus.
Yes.
Is Andy Reid the right coach for Patrick Mahomes?
I am Mark Slareth also. You are crazy. One, the circumstances are not the same, obviously. No 3 Super Bowl appearances to blow the air into that balloon of expectations to have the letdown of an 8-8 season and then the firing. That's not what you're seeing right here. What you're seeing right here is Andy Reid, who actually addressed his weaknesses this offseason in terms of the defense, and a defense that's playing better, asterisk. They were horrible last year, and they're playing slightly better than that. That said, the team construction, if you want to talk about that, is on Brett Veach, the GM, who's been with Andy Reid since 2004.
Huh? Answers to Andy Reid.
You're right. Yeah. Damn it, you did your homework too. Okay.
But this is my team.
But at the same time, they addressed it. They spent money over there. And the defensive coordinator, Spagnuolo. So they've addressed that issue and have seen improvement. But if you look at this team right now, it's not fully mature. It's not fully realized. And even offensively, because of the injuries, Tyreek Hill. Let's talk about Sammy Watkins and the one ankle injury that is happening with Patrick Mahomes. All that adds up to a team that is still on the rise, even though they were one player away from being a Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, I'm with you. He's 100% the right coach for Patrick Mahomes. When you look at it, Patrick Mahomes, when he came into the league, nobody thought he would do this. And part of that is because he has Andy Reid as a coach. He's innovative. He's smart. He's going to put him in good situations. Now, where I will agree with you slightly is this. They don't need Sammy Watkins. And Sammy Watkins is on a pretty good contract. They don't need Sammy Watkins. He rarely is he healthy, and he helps you 3-4 times a year because he's hurt so much. And so if they could get rid of Sammy Watkins and allocate that money to the defensive side of the ball, then that would help.
I will. This is why you're crazy, right? Like, the best thing you can tell your kids, is...
We want it all?
No. I believe in you. Mm. That's the best thing you can tell. I believe in you, and I am here to support you. Here's a team, a franchise, a coach that fell in love with Patrick Mahomes out of Texas Tech and moved from, what, 24, 25, 26, up to 10 to say, I believe in you. I believe in you so much, I'm going to let you tutor under Alex Smith, and then I'm going to give you the opportunity to run this offense, and you're going to throw 50 touchdowns and be an MVP and go to the AFC Championship game and lose to the New England Patriots, who happen to be... that New England is Hogwarts, okay? That's what New England is, because they're magic over there. That what they do, the formula they have, the secret sauce they have, I'm sorry, but they're that good. You went to an AFC Championship game with Patrick Mahomes. Andy Reid is absolutely the
right
coach.
In his first year as a starter.
Right.
That's unheard of.
And he's an innovator. He's an innovator. He's a really good football coach.
He's an excellent football coach. Dan Reeves and John Elway went to 3 Super Bowls, not AFC championships, 3 Super Bowls. And Pat Bowlen figured out, you know what, this isn't good enough. And I need something different and better to max out John Elway. And again, this is, I'm not saying we get, but if we get to the end of this season and this defense remains a problem, I'm sorry, I can't sit around and blame Spagnuolo and whoever the defensive coordinator is. I got a head coach that doesn't really care about defense, sits on the bench and talks to his quarterback while the defense is on the field. They have 2 bad inside linebackers. That's on Veach and
Spagnuolo.
And Andy Reid for one signing Hitchens away from the Cowboys and giving him all that money. Look, I'm not saying he's a bad coach. I'm just saying, 21 years, look at the other coaches that have been this long that haven't won it. When you're a Super Bowl winning coach, you normally grab it within the first decade.
Well, not all of them, if you really want to talk about that. You can look at the situation in totality. It's not about the defense with this team. It's truly about the running game and what changed the fortunes for John Elway. The running game.
Terrell Davis.
Terrell Davis, right? What changes the fortunes for this team? As much as we focus on defense, last year this team was averaging 115 yards per game. Kareem Hunt. All of a sudden it goes down to 82 rush yards a game. You want to see the impact he's had? 74 yards a game last year was the leading rusher in Kareem Hunt. This year is 43 in LeSean McCoy. They need to fix their running game to give them the time of possession that is being robbed from them, especially the last 2 weeks. The Colts went out there and ran it down the throat. And then that became the game plan, and you saw that being executed from that point forward. They need to get a balanced attack. I understand the defense will help them out tremendously, but what saved the Denver Broncos, my favorite team growing up, was a running back, and the same thing could happen here.
Well, it's interesting that you bring it up, and TJ would be great to speak on this. One of the things that they're facing here the last couple of weeks is they're facing 8-man boxes, press man coverage. Guys are up in the face of the wide receivers. They're disrupting routes. They're disrupting
the
timing
of that.
And that's
happening because Sammy Watkins is hurt, and Tyreek Hill hasn't been able to. You're not going to play Tyreek Hill like that. Mm-hmm. He's small, short in stature, but he plays big. Mm-hmm. And so when I say you don't need Sammy Watkins, it's not to discredit him. You can allocate that money to the defensive side of the ball. When you have Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, you really need 2 pass catchers on offense that can really threaten you. And those 2 guys can threaten you down the field, more so Travis Kelce in the middle and Tyreek Hill over the top. But now that you have Mecole Hardman on a rookie contract, you got 2 guys, short in stature, but can really get down the field. And so Sammy Watkins is making a lot of money. They can allocate that to the defensive side
of
the ball.
They spent the money. Frank Clark got paid. Honey Badger got paid. Bashar Breeland's over there, new defensive coordinator. Like, the resources have been allocated. What they don't have is the blessing of health.
So are they paying defensively the right guys?
Well, that's
that could be the problem.
They got to have something in the middle of that defense at linebacker.
Yeah.
There's a problem. Chris Jones is hurt. That's obviously a problem on their defensive line. Let me ask this, and I'll throw a bit of a curveball here. I've been down on the Chiefs the last 3 weeks. Tonight, I absolutely love the Chiefs. I think they win big here against the Broncos. Any chance The Chiefs are, I think, -3 points according to Fox Bet. Any chance the Broncos pull this upset?
Yeah, there's a chance. It's certainly going to be a fight. I think a dog fight. The Broncos of late, you see the pass rush picking up. It's, despite Von Miller off to a slower start, was it 12 sacks the last three games, 0 sacks first 3 weeks? We saw them beat the Chargers. Saw them beat the Titans, shut them out. They're starting to feel themselves in a division where they say, hey, it's winnable. This is a situation where we could go out there and make some hay. So it's one of those games, as Coach said, go get the steak, go get the ice cubes, bro. You're going to know you've been in the fight.
Yeah, there's no question. I think the Broncos win this game. I think, you look at the
defense. So Andy Reid's going to lose three in a row, but you got no problem with him. Go ahead.
I don't have any problem. They got five starters out. That's 23% of your roster is not playing tonight. On a Thursday night, short week,
yeah.
Health,
you get
and you got to travel.
Joe Flacco versus Patrick Mahomes. Chiefs win tonight.
Joe Flacco is playing good football, and it's not about Joe Flacco. It's about running the ball, setting up your play action, but it's about your defense. And what they've done on the defensive side of the ball, they have made some significant changes. Mike Purcell playing nose guard is playing really well for them. That let them move Shelby Harris out where he's naturally a defensive end. They've got Alexander Johnson playing the middle linebacker now. He's been outstanding. And their defensive backs now are pressing. They're starting to play. Even though they play a ton of zone, they're pressing. They're challenging people at the line of scrimmage. This is a different defense than the defense that gave up, four losses in the first 4 weeks.
To your point, they have held the other team scoreless for 9 consecutive quarters.
Well, that's going to end in the first quarter.
Oh, really?
It's going to. I will say, it's a division game. When you play your divisional opponent, it's always going to be a tough game just because you know each other so well. Yeah. Denver, they're good on defense. If you look at the record, they got jobbed against Chicago. So they should be 2-4. They really could be 3-3. They lost a close one to Jacksonville. So Denver has lost some really tough games. With that being said, if you can't really press Tyreek Hill. He's too quick and he's too fast. He has both going. Like, DBs know. I can press a guy when he's fast. Or I got to be careful when he's quick. Tyreek Hill got both.
Yeah.
So you press him, start the fight song, it's touchdown. And they know that. They're going to keep somebody over the top.
They have to keep somebody over the top. If they're going to press and try to disrupt, they got to have somebody over the top.
He's too dynamic. Right. It will be a pretty good game. But I'm with you. I don't see how Andy Reid loses 3 games in a row, especially with Denver. Denver's offense can barely score points.
Well,
they can barely score points.
You don't lose all 3 games in a row. You're losing one at a time. It's a little bit different. It's the same.
But when you're in that locker room and you lost 3 in a row, you're like, man, we done lost 3 in a row.
Right. But you are going against the 4th best defense, and you're without your starting offensive tackles.
You guys, tell me
it
again.
It can happen.
Hey, tell me again what it's like to lose 3 games in a row in the locker room. I've never been there.
Don't do
that.
Don't do
that.
I've never been there. That's the old NFL. We played in parity with real talent. Y'all played back then with lopsided. You know what I'm saying? It was easy to dominate.
No, on a serious note, and I think TJ makes the point of Stink. I know you know this. The Broncos kick too many field goals. Offense moves between the 20s.
Yeah. Yeah. That part is 100% true.
You start kicking field goals, you're going to lose. Right. This is a desperate Kansas City team. Andy Reid, that team wants no parts of losing 3 straight. And then all of a sudden, the Raiders look halfway legitimate. Yeah. I think both teams are going to be desperate, but one team has Patrick Mahomes. That's coming off a bad game where they didn't score enough points. The Chiefs are going to score points tonight. I just don't see any. I don't see any way Denver does this.
Well, I mean, I totally understand, and that may be true. I mean, they've got to be able to run the ball. They got to be the issue that they have in the red zone is they don't control the seams. They don't have anybody. Like, you get in the red zone, Denver. You get in the red zone. You got to be able to run it. You got to be able to control the seams. You got to be able to throw it in the seams. And they don't have a tight end or a third wide receiver that scares anybody there. And that's been their big issue as far as scoring. Then you got to have great command and touch on the outside, and you have to be able to beat one-on-one out there. And if you control the middle, you can do that. But if you don't control the middle, that's a really hard thing to do.
Primetime game, the stars show up. You talk about Patrick Mahomes, despite his limitations with the ankle. But Von Miller off to his slowest start he's ever had in his career. But it's a primetime game. What a game to go out there and make up a difference against a team missing both of their tackles. Don't put money on this one, Whit. Come back.
Oh, the money's already spent. Stick around. Whitlock and Wiley, Mark Schlereth, and TJ Houshmandzadeh are back. Time now for a big story. Let's move to Dallas.
Yeah.
Where Dak Prescott and the Cowboys will be looking to right the ship in a huge divisional matchup with the Eagles Sunday night. After a hot start, Dak has struggled through three straight losses, and former Eagle Brian Westbrook just went on First Things First and is blaming Jerry Jones, saying the back and forth over Dak's new contract has left a distracting question rattling around in the quarterback's head every week.
How do I earn that? And that has to be what Dak is thinking every single week. Oh, well, listen, I had a great first three games. Should I have earned the contract? What do I need to do to make sure that I can get this money from Jerry Jones and his football team? And so for me, I'm thinking the quarterback is a mental position. Quarterback and kicker. You don't want to put those guys in a situation where they have to be thinking. You just want them to go out there and react.
All right, Marcellus, what? Do you blame Jerry Jones for Dak's struggles?
Absolutely not. I liked everything Westbrook said, except the conclusion. When we're talking about, oh, you're putting the pressure out there to a guy who's playing the thinking position, and that pressure is overwhelming. How come? Why? First of all, most guys play better in their contract years. That's just an adage we've all said. And I've lived that my entire existence, no matter what happened in NFL. Contract year time, shape up. I had a back surgery in training camp of my contract year. Started off horrible, one sack after nine games, getting destroyed. And all I kept thinking about is, I'm going to go out there and make this happen. So that pressure could either burst those pipes or it could fuel you to the next level. And I don't think that right now Dak is succumbing to any of that pressure. But you are mindful. Westbrook is right. Every single play I made, I was thinking, cha-ching. And every single play I missed, I was like, oh, damn, got to make another play to go get cha-ching. So it's just a simple thing. You're always thinking through it. But it doesn't have the negative effect unless that's the type of mindset you have.
He has a point, but to blame Jerry Jones, no. This is the NFL, man. Like, if you perform, you're eventually going to get paid. Now, the reason he's not paid is because Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys organization, they're not 100% sure what they have in Dak. They're just uncertain of that. And so he'll eventually get his money. If Jerry Jones not paying you makes you play bad, then what's going to happen when you get into a big game? Like, this should be what you said, motivation, fuel. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to show you. You didn't want to give me X amount. Okay, now I'm going to play so well you have no choice. That should be his mentality. That's what it's about. Eventually, you should get your money, but this should fuel you to try to prove them wrong, because there's something there within the organization that they don't fully believe in Dak Prescott, is because if they did, he would have been paid by now.
If that's what causes you to play poorly, then you're the wrong guy at that position. At any position. If you not having a contract makes you go into a shell, then you're not the right guy for the Dallas Cowboys. If they have to figure out, here's the thing, the last collective bargaining agreement that they created, one of the things they gave themselves as ownership is this out called the franchise tag. So you don't have to pay anybody. You can wait. You can franchise your guy. Now you're going to have to pay him a lot of money for 1 year. But the bottom line is you can wait and see. Look at what the Tennessee Titans did with Marcus Mariota. You know who's starting this weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Tannehill. Yeah. They said, you know what? Before we pay you, cautionary tale. Let's just make sure, because we're not quite sure yet. Took him, 6 weeks to go, yeah, we're sure. You're not the guy. Ryan Tannehill, you're the guy. So, Dak, I mean, this is the way this game works. If that pressure makes you fold, then you're not the right guy for the Dallas Cowboys. That's on you. That's not on Jerry Jones. That's the business aspect of this game.
Yeah, I think Dak has to be as mentally tough as Jerry and Stephen Jones have been. Because if Jerry and Stephen Jones weren't mentally tough, they would have folded after week three and just overpaid Dak, gave him 35, or same money as Russell Wilson or whatever. But they didn't. They waited. And so what I would say to Westbrook, I would blame the schedule makers for Dak's problem. the schedule toughened up.
It don't get any easier either.
And this weekend they have the Philadelphia Eagles, desperate. The coach has put his foot in his mouth to some degree and guaranteed to win. Philadelphia will be a very difficult opponent for Dallas this week. And if Dak loses four in a row, there's just more dollars coming off his contract demands. I don't blame Jerry in the slightest. I actually tip my hat, because I would have folded. After week three, I would have folded and given Dak a contract and put him at ease, and then I'd be sitting here regretting it.
Let's play a little pushback mental gymnastics right here. I think Jerry has already paid Dak. Think about this. This is a fourth rounder making $2 million who has a floor going forward of $30 million. The worst Dak Prescott can do going forward is $30 million. Sometimes you don't get paid just in dollars. You get paid in opportunity. I gave you opportunity for you to go out there and at worst, woe is you, Dak, you're going to make $30 million. Now, we're somewhere between $30 and $40 million and maybe even higher. Even if I franchise you, you're at $33 million. Like, Dak, you playing with house money. So to Westbrook's point, yeah, it's on your mind, but to my point, if that is making you cave, oh, you are in a bad position. $2 million to $30 million minimum? How could Dak lose?
I'm on record. I believe Dak deserves to get paid. Now, it's just what amount?
He's getting paid $2 million right now.
No.
Right now.
Yeah. I believe Dak Prescott should be right around where Carson Wentz is. Because this whole game
you won't be saying that Sunday night, but go ahead.
This whole game is built upon my stats versus your stats.
Ooh.
That's what it's about. Statistically, where do I fall compared to my peers? And so
Fantasy football.
That's where he falls. And so it's just for Dak, just relax and play football, man.
Not just fantasy.
Just
real.
Relax.
Who's went further
at
in the playoffs?
At that position.
Who's went further in the playoffs? Who's had more success? Who's had better stats?
Dak.
I remember that one.
Who would you rather
Carson,
have?
Carson, but that ain't the question.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
I mean, but Carson
at that
made.
Quarterback position is like picking a wife. You know, somebody might, you know, have better stats, but is that who you really want?
Way to clean that up.
Is that who you really
better
want?
Better measurables.
Better stats.
Better measurables, but you better go for some intangibles matter.
Might be a thigh man.
But here's the deal. Here's the deal with Dak, and here's the deal with Dallas Cowboys. They were built a certain way. They were built to run the ball. They were built to control line of scrimmage. They were built to set up that play action stuff. And when they have that, Dak is exactly who you want to play quarterback. When that's not part of what's going on. So I understand the Dallas Cowboys situation. Like, you could have signed a contract. You could have probably made $30 million a year or whatever that contract was that was sitting out there. You could have probably gotten somewhere in there. You know, there was something, it was all kinds of reports, and sometimes they're fake money reports, but there was a big contract. But the bottom line is, I'm with you. You're going to get paid regardless. Whether it's a franchise tag or whether you sign a long-term deal, you're going to get paid. So that shouldn't have, what's going on from a contract standpoint shouldn't have any bearing on this. What you should do probably is just say, hey, man, we're going to readdress this. If you're Jerry Jones, we'll address this at the end of the season.
Yep.
I just
don't see this franchise deal as a guarantee. I can see the Cowboys reaching the conclusion.
Nah.
We're not paying him a franchise number for a year. Why would you do it?
Who's the starting quarterback next year?
Your rookie quarterback, man. The guy you draft.
So why not? You can still draft
Cam
him.
Cam Newton.
You can still draft that
Cam
quarterback.
Cam Newton's going to be available.
Get him on a franchise and then get rid of him while that rookie learns.
As Cowboys fans, if this goes sideways this year, even this week, if they wouldn't rather have a healthy Cam Newton next year than paying Dak Prescott 30-some-odd million for 1 year.
But in that reality, I mean, we're switching the hashes here. So, okay, in this situation, Dak's not getting a franchise tag. What happens to Dak? He goes to free agency. Dak's getting paid.
By who? Name the team that's going to pay him 30-some-odd million. Name them. They're not
everybody
out there.
Everybody else with lesser stats has gotten paid.
You know what? You sound just like Jerry when he said, oh, there's great demand for Jason Garrett. Really?
Yeah, that's true, too. That's true, too. Look, I'm not saying it's in Dallas. It's not obviously a great demand for him
in the league. After 9 or 10 years, there won't be great demand. There may be one team that makes a foolish decision on Jason Garrett, but there's not going to be, if this continues to go the way it is, there's not going to be a bunch of teams raising their hand to pay Dak $30 million.
What about Miami?
You only need one. Why do you keep saying hands?
What about Cincinnati?
Why do you keep saying
hands? $30 million? Mike Brown?
What about Tennessee?
$30 million? I'm talking about $30 million.
I'm just talking about teams that don't have quarterbacks.
Well,
here's the thing. Go draft
a rookie.
You have to pay, if you want a quarterback that has some experience, you have to pay whatever the going rate is for that position.
Yeah, he can get Case Keenum money.
That was not.
Hey, he can get Case Keenum money. Case Keenum that year in Minnesota.
You don't think that's
he's not getting Kirk Cousins money.
You look at what Case Keenum has done and what Dak Prescott. That's no comparison.
Yeah, don't do that to him, man. Don't do that. He's Kirk Cousins plus. He's getting at least that, right? And that's a guaranteed contract of $84
million. I
don't know
if he's Kirk Cousins.
I didn't say he was. I said he's plus. I said he's more than Kirk Cousins. I know he's not Kirk Cousins.
Case Keenum closer. joined now by head coach of the XFL, Los Angeles Wildcats, Winston Moss, former NFL great.
Yes, sir.
Winston, good to have you here on the show. I'm looking forward to the XFL. I love football, all football.
Yes, sir.
You guys did something unique in the draft in terms of they assigned quarterbacks to the team. The quarterbacks weren't drafted. Why did they take that approach?
First of all, let me...
Yeah, don't come empty-handed. You know what
Mama
said.
Let me extend my courtesies to you guys, my lords.
Okay.
It's my honor
2X,
to present you.
3X. All right, you get that one. I'll take the 2X. I'll take it up. You know what I'm saying? Represent.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, I like that. Hey. Wildcats.
Like this.
Same deal. Coaching like shirts.
So if we wear this at the stadium, we're coaching that day. We ought to wear a coaching shirt.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
All right.
So why did they assign quarterbacks?
Well, the XFL felt as though they gave us a list of quarterbacks that we would like to have potentially on our team. And Luis Perez was our highest rated quarterback as a staff. And we got him, and we feel great about him. And not only that, but the XFL did a great job of organizing this draft totally. With the positional drafts first, and then the open drafts, I thought it was brilliant.
Okay. I'm excited for it. Obviously, it's going to land here in Los Angeles and have a great impact. But the question you always hear is, why will this version of the XFL be different from the one previous?
Better product.
Better coaches.
Better coaches. Value. Better pricing. We're going to have fun. It's going to be fan-orientated.
We're not wrestling for the ball at the coin flip anymore?
No.
We're done,
none
right?
Of that. None of that. He hate me. No, none of that.
Hey, there are a few little interesting rules differences in the XFL. Again, in terms of what we'll see as a fan, how will it look different than the NFL?
It will look reimagined. We've tweaked some of the special teams. We've tweaked some of the after-point conversions. And that overtime is going to be something special.
What's the overtime?
If I tell you that, I got to kill you.
Like that?
It's like that?
Come on, coach. Amongst peers.
It will be a penalty kick style. The simplest way I can say it, it will be a penalty style sort of setup, as in soccer.
Come on, soccer.
So 11 on 11 on one side of the field, 11-11 on the other side of the field. You go to your score amount of points. Whoever gets the most points in a set of time, they win.
Now, in part, you have this opportunity, respect, coach, because of what happened in Green Bay, your former employer. And you had a tweet at the moment that, look at you. Well, you ain't got to look at this. We're going to put this tweet up right here. Talking about Aaron Rodgers. Ponder this. Y'all can read it. Well, I've heard it before. What, 2 days later after this tweet, you had another opportunity to be an XFL coach. My point is this. I asked you, is Aaron Rodgers coachable?
Yes. But I have my own issues with getting my quarterback in Luis Perez ready. Matt LaFleur has to deal with Aaron Rodgers and that whole deal, but I'm all XFL right now.
Yeah.
All right.
Ex-NFL, right? XFL, I respect
All right, let me ask you this then. There's a controversy that's hung over football in the NFL for the last 3 years. Colin Kaepernick can't get a job in the NFL. Would you welcome him, and would it be good for the XFL if Colin Kaepernick were to play in the XFL?
When I was with the Packers, 2012, Colin Kaepernick did a number on us in the divisional round of the playoffs.
Yes, he did.
So that Colin Kaepernick was good enough, but Colin Kaepernick is not even a thought for me right now. I'm in the mode of preparing my team. We had a big time draft yesterday, an unprecedented draft. We drafted 71 players. 71 players. We were up from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day for the last couple of weeks. Can't worry about no Colin Kaepernick. Can't worry about Colin Kaepernick. He's got his own problems.
Are you saying that name like that on purpose?
Kaepernick or Kaepernick?
You know, again, Kaepernick. It ain't even on the radar.
Kaepernick.
That sounds like a really. But just as a, you don't think it would be good for the league, the attention he would draw, the ratings he would draw?
Fireworks.
That's the decision that's above my pay grade.
Mm. So how did this opportunity even come to fruition? Just take us through that process quickly. You, former player, working your way up the ranks, obviously, in the NFL. Now you find yourself a head coach of
the
XFL.
Yes, sir. I mean, Oliver Luck reached out to me, and we had a great conversation. He offered me the job, and I took it.
Now, did you ask him, is his son available for the XFL draft quarterback?
Well, I don't know. Like I said, I was asked that question recently, and I'm not touching it because the conspiracy theory would be Oliver Luck gets out of the Oliver Luck's son, Andrew, gets out of the NFL and comes and plays for the XFL. Mm. That would be something.
It's not a conspiracy if it's real. It sounds like you're not answering because it might be real. No? Come on.
No.
All right, well, Winston, good luck.
Yeah.
We will be watching, looking forward to. Hopefully, I'll come out to a game and I'll wear my
shirt. You will come out to the game. You will come out to the game.
Whitlock and Wiley joined now by Fox NBA analyst Cuttino Mobley. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. Darnell, take it away.
Yes, sir. Let's move to LeBron James, who is taking a lot of heat this week over his comments on China. But the heat isn't just coming from social media. People around the NBA has also been critical, with Mark Jackson saying he was disappointed in LeBron, Doris Burke saying she was shocked by his answers, and Enes Kanter taking a veiled shot at LeBron as well, tweeting out, "I'm more than an athlete." I want to ask you guys, you know, LeBron's been taking this much heat since the decision. Is this fallout from that worse than the decision?
I think so. South Park went in on LeBron last night as well, making fun of his comments post-China. I think this is worse than the decision because I don't think that players around the NBA or even really most broadcasters tied to the NBA. They dealt with LeBron during the aftermath of the decision with kid gloves. There wasn't much of an attack. There wasn't much criticism. I think most people were just kind of excited about what he was going to do for the Heat. To see this kind of uniform media reaction and to see, and social media is in a different place than it was then in 2010, but all the memes I'm seeing, yeah, I think the fallout from this is worse than the fallout from the decision.
I think it's worse, but I don't want that to be a negative. I don't want that to land with a bad connotation. I had no reaction to the decision. It was a letter of intent show that raised $5 million at a Boys and Girls Club versus this, which is an international crisis of sort. Mm-hmm. So obviously this is going to be greater in that respect. So there's no comparison. But let's talk about why this is such an issue. And I love Mark Jackson for saying what I quote a lot, one of my favorite scriptures, be hot or be cold. Don't be lukewarm in the middle. I'll spit you out my mouth. The reason why that comes into play, and I even said this a couple of days ago about LeBron in this situation, is he had an opportunity to either toe the company line, stay silent, relax. I was not pressed to hear from LeBron on this situation. And when I heard that he said something, my first thought wasn't what he said, is why is he saying something? And then, as Mark Jackson said eloquently, if you're going to say something, chips all in. And he didn't go company line and kept his chips, which I thought he should have. He went halfway through and didn't even go all the way in. And more importantly, started looking around the table to take shots at others. And that's where I think he got lost, right there in the middle of playing the woke card and playing the investment card. And he was, in that process, shown to be fraudulent because he didn't really apply himself to either one.
This is apples to oranges, right? When it comes to what LeBron said about China and Daryl Morey to the decision, apples to oranges. The decision was nothing, like you said before. I didn't think nothing of it. He's raised $5 million for Boys and Girls Club with a decision. That's nothing. This is more about human rights, right? So when he's explaining this, I think people really tore up the words and how he explained what was said by Daryl Morey. I think they tore that up in a way where he said, well, as far as the education, he's not educated enough. I don't think he meant intellectual education IQ. I think it was more so emotional IQ. So when Mark Jackson says this, you know, you're either in or you're out, I'd rather deal with my backyard first before I go and deal with something else that I have no control over, because it's a bigger elephant in the room when it comes to those certain situations. So I think people really tore up what LeBron says, like they always do what LeBron say. When LeBron does or says something, there are always going to be critics. Just like if it's any team or any person that's held at a high stature, when they start saying certain things that certain people don't agree with, there will be, you know,
But Cutter, I just want to be clear that we can't dismiss the criticism of LeBron that's going on right now as like, oh, those are just haters. Mm-hmm. Because there are a lot of people that mm-hmm. have supported LeBron, including Mark Jackson, mm-hmm. including Doris Burke, who mm-hmm. had something to say, including just about everybody that is like, man, this is odd. This is not what we expected. This doesn't meet our expectations. This wasn't handled in a savvy way. I think there's universal discomfort with how LeBron handled this, even from the people that defended him. And to, you know, it certainly is apples to oranges in terms of the aftermath of the decision mm-hmm. and the aftermath of this. Mm-hmm. The only thing, though, that is fair is, like, there was a level of backlash mm-hmm. LeBron got for the decision mm-hmm. and the way he handled his exit there. Mm-hmm. This backlash is just at such a higher level, and that's why, and I think it has a more, I don't know if play on the court is going to fix it, because LeBron, during the decisions, like, he can just go out and ball, win a couple of titles, and he erases the decision. Mm-hmm. Short of winning a title this year, I don't know if you can really erase the blowback from this in terms of the way people are going to view him. When LeBron's never been in a lane where the Hollywood establishment takes a shot at you. And I know South Park kind of operates outside the Hollywood establishment.
The box. They
are, but I could see Saturday Night Live spoofing LeBron. That's never happened before.
And I don't think performance on the court is going to address this situation, because this is something that people are taking personally.
Well, think I think this is more of a back office, though, right?
Well, this... Look.
Because other people, think about this. Their fans, if he does well, fans won't really care. It's the back office, the sponsors, the China, the big-time people. Those people really say things.
It depends
not
on...
Not so much as a fan.
It depends on how you're a fan of LeBron. Like, LeBron had a carefully crafted persona. And it may have had origins in his true personality, but it also addressed outside the court issues. Mm-hmm. So when you're that careful with it, we expect you to not always address everything, but mm-hmm. when you address something, to embrace it and address it with your authenticity. What came as disingenuous in this situation is that LeBron did not do that. Mm-hmm. In an attempt to play both sides, he played himself. And that's the difficult thing for a lot of people to swallow. I'm a LeBron apologist. I still say he's the GOAT, but that's in a basketball realm. When you want to talk about being greater, more than an athlete, if you're more than an athlete, this is not the moment to be less than who you were, LeBron, in all other situations.
I got another analogy that I wish I had thought of this before the show. This reminds me of Tiger Woods after Thanksgiving. And he had a carefully crafted image mm-hmm. by Nike mm-hmm. that he was more than an athlete. His father had helped sell that he was going to be a Gandhi-like figure that mm-hmm. was blah. And then all of a sudden we found out, no, Tigers, just like a lot of dudes, mm-hmm. a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And how many years was Tiger wavering? And it took him a long time mm-hmm. to recover from that. This is similar to me of what Tiger went through. And that's why yesterday I was arguing, and Cut, I don't know if you weren't here. I think this could impact, the blowback from this could impact LeBron on the court as well. I think his play could be off this season because of the blowback from this.
I think that's very tricky, right? Because LeBron is in his 17th year, and he just, he strained his growing. Yeah. So when you start getting older, as you know, Marcellus, as you guys know, we're athletes. As you know, that don't get better the older you get. So
could be a coincidence.
There you go. Yeah. So are we going to dictate what's happened between China? If he gets hurt or if he slows down, he's in his 17th year. He's truthfully in his 21st year in the NBA years. So I'm not going to say that because if we start thinking and looking at that so much, that becomes the image. All I'm saying is for LeBron, whatever he says, being diplomatic, whatever it is that he said, we take, whether it's Mark or Doris Burke or whoever it is, yeah, okay, you may be disappointed. Okay, you may be, he leaning on this one side of this or whatever. That's your opinion. So he's just, whatever he's, if you say no comment, guess what people say? Oh, so you don't care?
No,
whatever,
no, no.
But whatever LeBron they would say, has, you never
LeBron
know
has
what
had
people
the greatest
say.
Spotlight on him as an athlete and has succeeded and thrived under that spotlight more so than anybody else of his level, of mm-hmm. his greatness. Mm-hmm. So he's used to criticism. Mm-hmm. What this one is different because the criticism actually hit home. Because mm-hmm. immediately he tried to clarify this. If he had spoken correctly, he would have been like normal LeBron.
But what is correctly? But what is correctly?
Correctly is what you feel. It's not where it lands, it's how I threw it. I threw the right pass. If they dropped the ball because I can only say it, I can't make you understand it. LeBron tried to then change what he was saying.
Well, because people interpret things so wrong, especially when you text. If I text you something and you feel a certain type of way subconsciously to me, then you're going to say, damn, Kat, I told you
he
I'm
said
coming.
Said it on camera, though.
Right, but what I'm saying is his apologies, right? So even if you say it on camera, the way you articulate it and the way a person feels that's receiving it is totally different.
Kat, he wasn't authentic.
Communication is communication until you can be able to comprehend. That's all I'm saying.
He wasn't authentic. There have been a million things that have occurred, and LeBron hasn't addressed them. Good job. And the few that he selects, he's done it at a remarkable level. Mm-hmm. But then there's this one mm-hmm. where you chose to address it to show you, everyone, I am LeBron. I'm real. That guilt was kind of making him say, hey, LeBron, this is kind of in your realm. You talk about equality, human rights. And now this is a situation that you are involved. He didn't have to say a word. But if you're going to say a word, like Mark Jackson said, say it from your heart. If not, you're saying it from your pockets, and that's the balancing act he tried to equate.
And the reason I really love this Tiger Woods comparison because that Thanksgiving deal with Tiger and his wife changed his image on a dime with the public perception. I think the same thing has happened here for LeBron. These guys with carefully crafted images by their sponsors, Nike and whatnot, it can blow up in your face. Joined again by Mark Slater, TJ Husmanzadeh. All right, let's return to the NFL and quarterback Lamar Jackson, who faces arguably his stiffest challenge of the season when he travels to Seattle to take on Russell Wilson and the 5-1 Seahawks. The Ravens are 4-2. Their four victories have come against opponents with a combined record of 4-18-1. Jackson has flourished against weak competition and struggled in losses to the Browns and the Chiefs. Last week, against the winless Cincinnati Bengals, Jackson passed for 236 yards and ran for 152. The rushing total caused the media to project that Jackson will demolish Michael Vick's NFL record of 1,039 rushing yards for a quarterback in a single season. Jackson's on pace for 1,200 yards on the ground. Is that a good thing or is it cause for concern? Took 19 carries, 152 yards from Jackson for the Ravens to beat the Bengals 23-17 last week. That's not sustainable. The year Michael Vick ran for 1,000 yards, the Falcons finished 7-9. In 2 weeks, the Ravens face the Patriots on Sunday Night Football. They close out November with a stretch of games against the Texans, Rams, and 49ers. Seattle, New England, Houston, Los Angeles, and San Francisco have a combined record of 23-4. If Baltimore wins two of those five games, I'll consider the possibility the Lamar Jackson run-heavy offense is a smart strategy. Right now, it's a bad scheme designed to hide the fact that Jackson can't play quarterback from the pocket. Right now, it's an accident waiting to happen. It's an offense that can't beat good teams. It's an offense that will shorten Jackson's career as a starter. All right, guys, Marcel, let's get us rolling.
Yeah.
Is this good for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens that he's on pace to smash Michael Vick's rushing record?
Yeah, if it works.
if it works.
By hook or crook, I don't give a damn. Look, I'm going to take some prophetic words from the scholar himself, Mark Schlereff, who said, it's just interesting how people are trying to legislate contact out of a contact sport. Talking about all the rule changes, referees, and all that implementation. And it's amazing also how broadcasters are illogically trying to talk about how you can play the position from the pocket and it's safer. it is not safer. The first death I've ever seen on the football field was in the pocket. I was a little kid, like 7 years old. I was like, what happened to Joe Theismann? Like, just died on the field. And then we continuously see guys in the pocket. Whether you want to go to some of the other greats, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, in the pocket, it's hell to pay as well. Or you want to look at some of the guys who are outside the pocket, and RG3 comes to name, everyone wants to say. But you know what? There is no protected existence in the NFL. So, with that said, you run the calculation. What's going to give our team the best opportunity for success? Right now, based on terms, based on situations and circumstances, that game dictates him to run that often. I don't have a problem with it because if you stay in that pocket, you're going to have to deal with it. And if you get out, you got to deal with it.
I'm fine with it as well. Now, if I'm a receiver, I'm not. But if I'm on that team and I'm trying to win, I'm fine with it. If he can get the Baltimore Ravens 6 to 8 years of this, they'll take that. They'll take it. And if he can't play longer than that because of injury.
Let me reset my argument. I'm saying you can't win running the ball from the quarterback position. You win games with the quarterback playing from the pocket.
Historically, you're correct. It's a different day and age now in football. The way guys are playing, I mean, you look at it, he's averaging 100 yards more just about than Vic did, completing 12% more of his passes. It's a different game. It's evolved.
Who's done it? Who's won?
He just said that. Historically, it hasn't, but it's evolved.
It's evolving. When Vic was playing, they weren't running RPOs. They weren't doing – Vic would thrive in it.
No RPOs.
They weren't doing that. And so – it can be done. We just haven't seen it be done. And you look at it, the Seahawks don't have a great defense, so they're not stopping anybody. They're the 20th-ranked defense in the league, so he can do the same thing to Seattle that he's been doing to everybody else. Now, moving forward, will he be able to do it? We don't know. We've never seen this before. But if I'm a bet man with the way he's playing, if he can do this for 6 to 8 years and I'm the head coach and president, I let him do it.
You watch them on film. This is, I call it heavy spread, because there are three tight ends, there are fullback. I mean, they are big, they are strong. Like, I'm watching them and go, man, that's the best run. That scheme, whatever they did right there, that was one of the best. They'll get, you know, it's like seven guys on four. I mean, you watch them, it's unbelievable what they're doing. And just when you think you saw one run that was the best run you've ever seen in your entire life, you're like, oh, wait, that run was better than the last one I just saw. Is it sustainable? Hell no, it's not sustainable. Because they ran him, I think, of the 19 rushes he's had last week, I think 15 of them, by my count, were designed quarterback runs. Now, some of the outside.
And how many did he take big hits on?
A couple.
That's not bad.
All I'm saying is you get a couple more, you get a couple of those. I don't know. I'm with you. I think he may last 6 years, and if you can get six great years out of him, great. And defending this is going to be exceptionally difficult for anybody.
I'm going to go one more again. I just don't think you win this way.
See, I'm with you. I don't think you win this. I don't think you win long-term this way.
We've never seen it.
I don't even think short-term.
We've never seen it.
I just think over a 16-game schedule, if you ask your offensive linemen and tight ends to play this way, the run game is a more physical game.
And they prefer it, though. Tell me if I'm wrong. Offensive linemen rather run block than pass block all day.
Over a 16-game schedule, though, when you're playing a more physical brand of football than everybody else on that side of the ball, I just think it's going to lead to deterioration and a lack of efficiency and execution. You're asking your offensive lineman to do more than the opposing team's offensive lineman. It's just a more physical game. I think it affects everybody, not just Lamar Jackson.
Well, I will tell you this. The thing that scares me is third down and 7+ is hard to convert for anybody, right? It's just hard to convert for anybody.
Yeah.
But in this offense, it's going to be impossible to get because
– how do you play them?
Yeah, they're not going to be in 37.
Hey, listen, man, listen. As far as the running game is concerned, I don't know. Like, I have broken –
3rd and 7+ for Lamar Jackson, you don't spy him. You don't have somebody in the middle of the field just worried about him.
He is a unique, unique talent. I'm just telling you, I just don't think he's long – at that position.
My point about winning is they just played the winless Bengals, and this dude pretty much played the perfect game. No interceptions, 236 yards passing, 152 rushing.
Woo.
They won by six.
It happened.
Against the winless Bengals. The Bengals are trash.
Don't forget the Ravens defense.
Played Seattle tough.
Yeah, and you're staying on brand with the Ravens of old. This makes sense. A running quarterback can't work. And the Ravens defense in your mind and imagination is still amazing.
And it's not.
That's not the reality. And they're leaning on this running game to kind of cover those warts when they were giving up over 500 yards a game this season. He's 10-3 in his 13 regular season starts. You extract that out, it's like an 11-12 win season for one regular season. He's a winner in this formula. Is he long for it? Look, the path of least resistance is to throw that football. We get it. But the way that the game has evolved, right, and you talk about the dynamics of an offense, it's smart to play.
When you play good teams, and they're feasting on the bad teams, hats off to them. But when you play good teams and when you get into the postseason, there's probably five critical, important third and long situations that you have to convert. They're not going to be in the habit of converting those. And it's going to bite them in the rear end against the top elite competition, and particularly in the postseason.
You know what I think? I don't know if it's this weekend's game that will really show. It's the game versus the Patriots in 2 weeks. After they play Seattle, they have a bye week.
Yeah.
And they play. That will really show, okay, because Bill Belichick is going to have an answer for that. Mm. That game will really show, okay, is this sustainable? Can he really beat a good team? Because Seattle, they're a good team, but they're the 20th ranked defense. They're not world beaters.
Their D-line, like, they've got some issues, but I will say this about Seattle. Their three linebackers, and they will match up their three linebackers.
They're fast.
Their three linebackers are as good as there is in this
league. Yeah, Bobby Wagner's going to feast.
Bobby Wagner, K.J. Wright has been amazing, and Kendricks has been unbelievable as well. So that part is going to be an intriguing aspect to this match.
Monday's show is going to be fire, because y'all about to eat these words.
All right, what's up, Darnell, with the Super 6 this week?
Yes, sir. Before the Chiefs and Broncos kick off tonight on Fox, be sure to download the Fox Sports Super 6 app and play for free for a chance to win Terry Bradshaw's 25 G's. One of the questions for tonight's game is, which team will win by how many points? Whitlock Marcellus, who you got?
Oh, this is so easy.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Chiefs 31, Broncos 18.
Oh, they need to put our records underneath, because I'm undefeated so far, destroying this game right here. I need my money, Terry. 27-23, go Chiefs.
So you got them to cover as well. All right. Whitlock and Wiley, TJ Houspinzada's back. Let's move to the Cowboys. Sponsored by the Spark Cash Card from Capital One. The Cowboys will be looking to snap their three-game losing streak in a huge matchup with the Eagles Sunday night. But they might be without Amari Cooper, whose status is up in the air with a quad injury, which got Michael Irvin speculating that his old team might actually be desperate enough to consider signing Antonio Brown. And you know what? I think Irvin's right.
Michael Irvin's right on this.
I think the playmaker is right. I could see them getting desperate enough to sign Antonio Brown. This is a Super Bowl or bust year for Jerry Jones and for Jason Garrett. Dak needs something to help him get the contract. I can see him being desperate enough to go get AB.
I can't see him doing that again. Let's keep context here. Let's keep perspective. 3-5 team last year, and they do something very risky. Give up a first round to go get Amari Cooper. Boom! That's a 10-6 team in the playoffs. And you're a gambling man. When you make that little risky move, you ever double down on the risk? You ever do it again?
Hell yeah.
I'm glad you said it. And how much have you lost over the years? My point, you don't double. Once you take something risky, you just sit with the rewards of that risk if it paid off. And it did pay off with Amari Cooper. You don't go back to that well and say, let's do it again. Because one, it's not predictable. And two, what you're risking on is not predictable. So the results are not predictable. And who are you going to need to get those results? AB, with everything that's going on with him, we don't know his mindset. So I'm sorry. No, they went through this before.
I'm doing it. I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him. And this is,
wow,
Amari Cooper's hurt.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's hurt or it's my contract year and I can play, but I'm going to make sure that I'm all the way right, Jalen Ramsey style.
All good.
And so you can say what you want about Antonio Brown. He's one of the best receivers. Dak Prescott needs a receiver that can create separation and will show you I'm open.
Yeah.
He's the best at it. Antonio Brown is. And so whether it's desperation, they should go do this. talk to the NFL and see, because the NFL hasn't even interviewed Antonio Brown, so you don't know if he's facing a suspension. You don't know what it is. And so, hey, we're thinking about signing him. Can you please let us know? And if you get green-lighted, you go sign him.
Why? The desperation is not just from the organization. It's from the player that you're trying to acquire. Where's the humility in Antonio Brown in this moment? We don't know. I'm not saying he doesn't have any, but the Patriots situation, to me, was his opportunity to show I will play by the rules.
He had one misstep, I thought, with the Patriots, was when he got released, the tweet he
Come
put
on,
out.
Man.
That was the misstep that I – had he been advised the right way, you just kind of – what he did. I appreciate the opportunity. Go win, he should have left it at that. But outside of the Patriots, that was his only misstep, and he's gotten away with so much, he probably thought
That's not his only one.
Listen.
With the Patriots?
Yeah. They babysat Dez Bryant, who was not near the player that Antonio Brown is. They babysat, hired a team of people to babysit him. They'll do the same for AB in this. And nobody is more player-friendly than Jerry Jones.
He wanted, AB wanted to be in a spotlight. Can you imagine him in Dallas?
I can imagine that. Right. The fire meat gas.
Nah.
And so I think they have AB in a position where he would sign a reasonable contract.
Oh, all that.
He would sign a reasonable contract. They put a team around him to try to keep him out of trouble. And just flat out, I'm just telling you, Jerry needs this team to perform. He's going to be devastated if it doesn't.
Marcellus, just think about that offense on the field.
Man, y'all, everybody's sitting there gambling, talking about, man, if I win all them chips, you know what it takes to win them chips? You got to give up chips.
If it don't pay off, you're just releasing.
Let me blast you first. All right, Belichick signs him. You know how Belichick signs him? Come here, AB. Sit down. Let's talk. These are the rules. You have -1 tolerance. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, not even a week later, damn here. Bap, bap, bap. Messed all that up. Okay, let's come to you now. We're going to build this team around you, AB. And damn, we got a team around you, but your biggest issue is really like social media. We don't know everything else. Okay, we got to stay in communication with you, so you keep your phone. Huh. That's the problem. To stay in communication with this dude, he still has access to his phone, which could blow up everything at any given time. It's not about security going to the club and who he's around. It's about who he has as an audience. Millions of people that keep giving him gas. How you gonna stop that?
Jerry Jones will sign a contract. AB, give me that phone. My personal security guy will have your phone. He will be with you. He'll stay in the house with you. This will be 24/7. And again, to me, this doesn't happen for another 3 or 4 weeks. Let the NFL figure out what they're going to do with AB. But will the Cowboys potentially, come Thanksgiving, reach the conclusion like,
we need him.
AB.
Yeah. Man, y'all trying to give AB a parental control teenager phone and think that that's going to work with this dude?
You can't get on these channels.
Right, you can't even log in.
Here's the deal.
What?
If AB stays away from domestic issues and issues of not dealing with women, Jerry Jones is going to tolerate everything else. If he wants to come in here and live stream us after a victory.
After a win.
After Jerry's like, all good. Jerry
more
be all
publicity.
Up in the video.
Yeah. Well, look, the thing about AB, I do understand that Jerry is sympathetic, is allegations don't disturb Jerry Jones. He's been alleged of so much. He's like, I get it. What innocence or guilt, that plays out in a different form. On here, it's about wins and losses. So we know that you can help in that respect. But they're not even at that desperation level. They're not 3-5 like they were last year. I don't see this team going 3-5. Even if they do.
You don't see 3-4? They play the Eagles this weekend.
No, they're going to beat the Eagles, despite the guarantees that come from Philadelphia.
Eagles' weakness is secondary. Amari Cooper ain't playing, but go ahead.
We got to go to break. y'all got me all twisted. I'm not riding for the Cowboys. I'm just saying it worked once. They're not going back to that well to try it again, especially with someone unpredictable, unfortunately. That's it.
Darnell, who's right? Who's wrong?
I'm with you, Whitlock.
Oh, man.
I got to keep it real.
Oh.
AB Cowboy makes sense.
It will be amazing. I will dust off my Cowboy jersey. That would be hot.
Entertainment.
That would be entertaining.
Coming up. Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval ratings for Andy Reid.
Yeah.
But first, let's see if he followed my direct orders this morning.
Oh, wow.
Who's the big dummy of the day? According to your orders, Marcellus is the big dummy of the day.
What the hell? Put my hat on.
But on a for real, bro, did you just say that
me
during a contract year, oh, we put in that work.
Oh, yeah, all day.
So what the hell y'all do when it ain't a contract year?
Well, we just show up.
Yeah.
Mail it in.
All right, see? Let's talk about Andy Reid.
Guaranteed dough.
Whose Chiefs take on the Broncos tonight in Denver. Kansas City looked like a lock to win the division. But now John Gruden's Raiders are right on their heels. Marcellus, do you think the Chiefs are still a lock to win the AFC West, or do they need to replace Andy Reid?
Oh, here you go. We ain't doing that block again. Are they still in the same division with the Chargers? My Chargers, damn. Oakland and Denver? Yeah, they're a lock. They're injured right now, and they're still leading this division. So, yeah, they're going to finish up strong once they heal up and hit their stride. So, no worries.
Uncle Jimmy.
What?
Like me, you're a Chiefs fan.
Chiefs!
And as I said earlier in the show, I think we should consider replacing Andy Reid. But anyway, what's your thoughts?
Wow. Well, let me see if I follow your little soliloquy here.
Yeah.
Let's see. Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
Dan Reeves, John Elway.
Yes.
Myrtle and Uncle Jimmy.
Myrtle.
Myrtle's my first ex-wife.
Oh. Hey. Yeah.
All right.
All of y'all here, broke up.
Let me tell you something, nephew. It pains me to say this, but in the words of Neil Smith, Whitlock, you may have a perk.
A point.
Now, listen. Do I think that Andy Reid can get Patrick Mahomes to the Hall of Fame? Yes. But he damn sure ain't going to get him to a Super Bowl.
Mm. I like that.
And if he does, you know they ain't going to win. Look, Andy Reid got Donovan McNabb to a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what is it that he's going to be remembered for?
Throwing up
all over T.O. in the huddle.
Don't do that.
And that's a learned behavior.
To throw
and
up?
And this is why T.O. hates his ass to this day.
Right.
Look, man, look.
Right.
Sometimes in life, you have to lose in order to win. Nephew, you should try that with your weight sometimes.
Stop it right there.
Look, man, I got to go back to Myrtle.
I have to do
that. That is a perfect joke.
I call it Myrtle the Turtle.
The Turtle.
Look, man, getting out of that relationship was probably one of the best things I ever did in my life.
Mm.
Once I found out that she had been burying my drawers in the backyard, I knew it was time to get out.
Voodoo. Voodoo going on.
See, the relationship was hindering me from my fulfillment of being a man.
Mm.
And my mobility to tend to my flock at night. Now look, let me get back to my parent.
Please, TSA.
Look,
the hell?
Andy Reid can give less than 4 flying farts in the wind if he win a Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes, Donovan McNabb, or Michael Vick. He just want to win a Super Bowl.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick, I got some bad news for you, man. I know you think that you the first little tight piece of black quarter black Andy Reid done ever had.
Quarter black?
But man, look, Andy Reid, this been his modus operandi for a while now. Patrick, you want my advice? I'm gonna give it to you right now.
Oh, God.
Get out. These people are crazy. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking all these white people like you because they put you on the cover of Madden. Look, man, once Andy Reid bust out that coffee mug on you, it's a wrap for you. Ain't y'all seen the movie?
Uh-huh.
Look, the only one that saved him was who? His partner that worked for the TSA. Yes.
Oh, now I get you.
Hey, I'm trying to help you, little bro. Listen to me. Get out.
You are dumb.
All right, look.
You are a nut.
I've got Andy Reid all the way down to a 66 role
player. That's why I always be talking to him like that.
12 in job performance. Is the lowest score I have, 66, role player.
They lost 2 games to 2 good teams, and this is what we do. You got a man, role player. Andy Reid, who helped make Patrick Mahomes the MVP in his first full year as a starter.
You think I'm lying? Count your draws, Patrick. Count your draws.
Oh, nah. He's, for me, he's
GOAT status. You kidding me? He's lost 2 in a row. The internet says 70%.